You are listening to the Sports Chop Shop. And now, your host, Adam Bailey and Ben Downey.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Sports Chop Shop. Tonight, it is a full roster. We are three of a kind here on the SCS. I'm Adam. With me is Ben. And calling in live from Skype is Chris. Chris, good to be back.
Hey, it's good to be back.
Have you been? What's new with you?
Well, you know,
that is a lot. Well, we've got a lot of sports going on this week. Some more jostling up the top of the NCAA, LSU and Alabama. LSU pulling out the win, but was the game living up to the hype that it got? We'll talk about that and some new shifts in the SEC. That Georgia fans are very happy about, and kind of breaking down the Oklahoma near upset of Kansas State, not to be denied. Sorry, Oklahoma State. So here's my one mistake for the show. I'm getting out of the way in the header of the show. I'll try and stick with one. I mean, I want to get it down to a consistent one per show.
Just no, go for it, dude. I believe you.
I'm just gonna go guns a-blazing here. And we'll give our midterm grades. We have reached the midterm point of the NFL. We're going to give our midterm grades to the top 16 in the mothership, as Dan Patrick would call, power rankings of the top NFL teams. That's what we agreed on, correct, boys?
We could have just said, and these are the 16 teams we're using.
Yeah, but we believe in citing our sources on this.
I like it. I like the honesty.
We're using?
We're sampling. We're sampling, as Dan Patrick would say.
We're borrowing.
I believe the kids call it sampling.
Well, you know, we are a globally followed podcast.
You say that all the time.
Well, because we're on the World Wide Web, are we not?
It is. Yeah, I mean, that is in the name.
One person in Canada is listening. It's there. It is right there. It's international.
Boom. Global, even.
Taking over the world.
I mean, you could listen to us in space if you have the right Wi-Fi, but let's dive into it. Let's
impossible.
And not a believer in space time travel. We're gonna get into this here. Okay, let's start immediately with LSU Alabama. Ben, your thing in this game lives up to the hype?
No, not really.
No.
No.
Change your mind is pre-show. Yeah, 9-6. LSU pulling it out in Tuscaloosa in overtime.
Pre-show.
Well,
just to clarify.
I mean, just be honest.
I am being honest.
Be honest.
I do believe the big sponsor of the game was Ambien, so, you know, maybe it lived up to that in a sense.
Always want to placate to the sponsors. There's a lot of good defense on both sides of the ball, but I didn't think both offenses would be so stifled. Certainly not LSU's. It just kind of it seemed like nothing was really working for either team, and there was a lot of preparation, I think, on both sides. You had a lot of like switches in what LSU and Alabama was normally doing on film. You had a lot of just things that neither team had seen before, and just kind of gave us an old fashioned SEC, like defensive oriented rumbling tumbling. But
what old fashioned are you speaking of?
I mean, from kind of the early 90s. I mean, before the SEC got a little more talented, maybe a little more speedy. I mean, it was kind of about just running the ball. It was running the ball with, you know, with some good quarterback play, but a lot of staunch defense. And now it seems a lot of offensive stars come out of the SEC. But that's neither here nor there. It just seemed like nothing was working. I mean, you got Trent Richardson, doesn't even have 100 yards on the day. Jefferson and Lee combined to throw 91 yards. Just nothing was really working. I was kind of surprised by how much LSU went away from the pass. They only threw 17 passes and rushed the ball a total of 41 times. I mean, some of those times are scrambles by Jefferson, but I was just surprised that
Are you impressed at all at the defense?
I am impressed. I'm just surprised that it was so stifling that nothing was working on either side offensively. I mean, these are two good offenses coming in. I mean, LSU more so than Alabama's. But I did not think Alabama had the defense to shut it down. And they did. I mean, honestly, Alabama had a better day. More yards.
More field goal attempts.
Yeah.
Makeable field goal attempts.
But, I mean, McCarron never really found much of a rhythm either. I mean, yeah, he threw up to 199 yards on the day, but, you know, never put in the end zone, threw a pick.
Two.
He only threw one.
No, I'm just saying that's number two for you.
Yeah, well, that's just a...
That's a stumble. It's a quick stumble. It was a nice recovery. It was a recovery.
Thank you. I just thought that both quarterbacks would have fared a little bit better. I give credit to these good defenses, but I think LSU has seen a lot of good defenses thus far, and I didn't think Alabama stood out like this. So, I don't know. But, yeah, boring game, guys, pretty much.
Yeah.
I'm bored of the conversation, so, yeah. Boring game.
But what do we make of now LSU's future now that this is kind of a clear path to the national title game?
I mean, Arkansas still has an outside shot, mathematically.
Because
if they win out, that includes a win against LSU. And
do you see that happening?
I don't completely rule it out. Put it like that.
That's such a weak. Yeah. Can you?
Is it fine?
Straddling the fence.
Fine. Yes. Fine.
Hey, one thing or another, black or white. What is it?
LSU in the title game.
There you go.
Yeah. I don't see anybody in the SEC beating them. I think Arkansas is a game we should stay tuned to because they are, they are. A team that rises for these tougher SEC opponents, but I don't think so. I don't see that. I mean, especially with the game being in Baton Rouge, I don't see it. Who knows? They could surprise us. That'll be the end of the season. They'll have gone on the road to Ole Miss, and they'll be on a short week. It'll be a Friday game. It could happen. But. I think if they clear the schedule, they will roll over whoever is in the SEC East. And speaking of the SEC
East. Come on. No faith.
Speaking of the SEC East, South Carolina goes down against Arkansas last week. Arkansas pulls away a bit late, but ultimately lays down a throttling on them. And they win 44-28. And there you go. Now Georgia controls its own destiny to get to said SEC title game. We have to get through Kentucky and then have to handle Auburn. You're yelling at me about no faith, but in the pre-show we were talking about that Georgia Auburn game.
Oh yeah. I'm a Negatron. I'm being falsely optimistic about this whole thing. I'm just giving you crap. I mean that's really what it boils down to. It's giving Adam a hard time.
Do you think we get to the game? Do you think we?
I think we can. Make a decision, Ben. I think Georgia will be in the SEC title game. I don't see us having much of a chance. But I just think back to 06. Or was it 06 or 05?
05. Yeah, 05 was the year that it was a two-loss Georgia team coming in with two losses, and LSU looking like the perennial favorite not just to win the game, but to –
win everything ever.
Yeah, exactly. Make it all the way to the Sugar Bowl. And we came in and kind of knocked them on their asses, I guess, in the SEC championship and won the game. So, yeah, I mean, who knows? I think that team was more talented, and I think that LSU team is was less talented than this one. So who knows, though? Who knows? It would sure be nice. I'll put it that way. Because we need to talk about this, Ben. It's been an up and down season. It's been topsy turvy. But did we not say the expectation was to win the SEC East in regards of Mark Richt's career?
Yeah, I mean, I think to save his job, that's what he had to do. At least an appearance would be, you know, I guess that would satiate enough fans. Not me. But results are results.
I'm going to start. I agree. I agree with you, and we've both been major proponents of our lack of faith or trust or impression.
It's a weak SEC East right now.
It's a weak SEC East, But that, you know, that also kind of said why Georgia should be in front, which, you know, now we are. We just have to, we have to take care of business. I mean, now it's, I mean, look, it's not like it's the easiest thing to get there. And Kentucky is never someone you want to overlook because they can surprise you. And Auburn, while
rivalry game.
It's a rivalry game, exactly. And both teams are young and both teams are kind of unpredictable. I think Georgia's better. And I agree with you. I think we'll be there in the Georgia Dome. But, you know, I'm going to say this as far as regards to Mark Richt's career. I'm going to put this on the table. It is a young team. Georgia's a young team with a lot of young talent at every position. You've got a sophomore under QB. You've got a true freshman running back. Your most talented receiver is a freshman. You've got a few sophomores, and I think, you know, Marion Brown is a junior. But, you know, your team is young everywhere, and on defense as well. Middle at linebacker, I mean, some you know, young experience in the secondary, but generally young guys. And if we can do our job and do what is expected and what is, you know, I think, yeah, expected to win the SEC East in this year, I'd like to see what this young team can do. It needs to be a convincing run. And I don't think it's too much to ask that we make the SEC championship competitive. I think Mark Richt can run the risk of getting to the SEC championship. But if we get rocked a little too hard, I don't think people are going to be too happy with that. And we're also,
I don't know. I think the just an appearance. I think that'll satiate enough fans.
What if we lose to Georgia Tech the week before?
Well, you didn't say that.
Well, I'm adding that.
Well, then deals off.
I mean, because we technically, you know, we make it to the SEC East, but is it the same with the Georgia Tech loss?
No. But I don't think we'll lose to Tech.
I don't think so either. I think we will. I think we'll win out all the way to the SEC Championship, and it's in your hands, young Bulldogs. Let's. It's in your palms. It's in your palms.
It's in your palms.
Let's get there. Let's get there. Let's do it. I want to be back in that dome. I want to see Georgia G's on the helmets in that dome, and not on December 21st. Let me clarify that statement. No Peach Bowl. Come on now. Yeah. Well, let's be real, son.
It's Peach Bowl.
Let's be real. I'm not gonna sell out to your corporate branding. Okay. Okay. Let's touch base on some of the other scores going on last week. Oklahoma State and Kansas State shooting it out. 52-45, Oklahoma State manages to pull it out. Are you surprised by Kansas State at all, maybe?
Surprised by Kansas State? No, I mean, they have a talented team, and Oklahoma State's defense is bad enough. I do give Oklahoma's defense a bit credit, you know, a big part of last week's win when they played Kansas State. They held that great offense in check, an offense that had scored on pretty much every other defense. They scored a lot of points, just Oklahoma State scored more. I was a bit unimpressed with who's the wideout? I can't think of his name. Jared Blackman. He fumbled a lot, but he had over 200 yards. He's supposed to be the hotshot wideout prospect. And this couple fumbles are. I mean, I'm already thinking about the draft next year, and what the Browns need, and we need a wideout, a playmaker. And I was looking at this guy, so we'll have a top pick.
Yeah, I mean, but.
Anyways, back to the game.
We can open up the Browns drafts at a later part in the
show. Yeah, why don't we do that in April?
I will say this, with the way Kansas State kind of went out, you know, against Oklahoma comparatively, and of course every team matches up different, but I don't know if I expected them to push Oklahoma State this far with how good Oklahoma State has looked. But they get the win, and I mean, you know, win in conference when, you know, at the end of the day, they are a one loss team in a, you know, top 15 team. That counts definitely. And so Oklahoma State sitting in that three spot, and now they're top two team now. Now they're in there with Alabama falling off. Am I wrong? That would make sense. Yes. Did we ever check the standings?
Yes, it's LSU, OSU, Alabama, and then I think it's Stanford, Boise State. So Boise State is not going to get any love. I didn't think Alabama fell hard enough.
You don't think so?
They lost at home.
By 3 points in overtime. I mean,
I know, undefeated Stanford, undefeated. Well, I'm not gonna throw Boise State.
I mean, undefeated Stanford now has to get.
Help.
Yeah.
Lots of help.
Exactly. I mean, they've dropped a whole bunch.
By not losing.
I don't know. I mean, now I'm okay. Yeah, we can talk about this. I mean, Alabama being number three over Stanford still. It kind of becomes what do you expect? Because now this is I think very telling of how the BCS feels about the SEC. I mean, I don't understand how it's mathematically possible, but I don't know. Alabama lost by 3 in overtime to the number one team in the country. When you're number two, that's not a lot of degrees of separation. I don't know. It'll be interesting. Stanford, I mean, they need help, but, you know, BCS rankings, they shift anyways.
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple more weeks to go. I like Oklahoma still. It's kind of they're at 6 right now, but they play Oklahoma State. I don't know. I see a lot of things that could shake out, and be very.
Yeah.
How about Houston, number 11?
I was about to say, why doesn't Houston get any love? Why is always Houston at 9-0, not even in the top 10? There you go.
Because they're playing Chattahoochee High School.
I guess so. I guess that's what it takes. I mean, who's Boise State playing?
Georgia, once. Oh.
Yeah, once. that time. That time they played Georgia.
That is one.
I don't know. Part of me thinks it is ridiculous that Alabama is still above Stanford. Part of me thinks that it's
your SEC. Lub.
I mean, it's kind of the SEC fact at this point. It's nasty.
Fact!
Years. Fact!
All right. So, the Houston Cougars, UCLA, North Texas, Louisiana Tech, Georgia State, UTEP, East Carolina, Marshall, Rice, UAB.
They played them Panthers of Georgia State?
56-0 whooping.
Whoop! Well.
And yeah. If I remember seeing the Georgia State, I think they only have one loss, too. Maybe. Right? No, psych. 2-7. Continue.
Chris, are you still with us, buddy?
Yeah, I'm listening intently.
No, he's not.
Chris from Skype, what do you think about the BCS rankings?
Oh, man.
Oh, here we go. He's going to go on one of his rants, I bet.
Chris, you're on Sports Chop Shop. We're live with Ben and Adam, Chris.
We're live?
You're live on the Sports Chop Shop podcast.
I'm sorry. I've just been driving. That's the thing. I'm calling in from my drive.
You're the commuter.
What's your late-night cruise looking like, Chris?
I'm always busy. I'm always on the road talking to people about college football. And all the things I know about it.
We're glad you're with us here on Sports Chop Show. But we're gonna. What now?
Just profundity. What were you gonna?
I was gonna segue to the NFL so we can get you back on the show.
Hey, I'm suddenly back on the show. Let's do this. NFL.
Are you done? Done driving?
Yeah, I just pulled up into my room.
I think we've covered LO. Do you want to give an honorable mention about Michigan, by the way, losing to Iowa? Finally top 15, and they on first and goal on the 3, Dernard Robinson's got nothing. Nothing.
You just totally teased Chris. You realize this, right? You're like, we're going to throw the NFL. Yoink! Nope.
I wanted to hear your thoughts as a Buckeye fan.
Michigan sucks.
All right!
Those Michigans.
Michiganians.
By the way, Chris, call in live in his car.
Hey.
What about your West Virginia Mountaineers going down?
Well, see, what we established a few weeks ago is that you burn a couch when you win. I'm driving in my car now because I actually burned my house down after they lost. So
you know how to party. You might lose the game, but you're not losing the party.
Not losing the party. Well, I kind of lost the party because the party was in the house that I burned down.
Can I
the run?
Can I? I mean, I don't think I don't think you're wrong as a West Virginia fan. It's kind of the
What you do.
That's just you know how many burnt houses there are? That's entire neighborhoods.
Just saying. It's the only way you're supposed to win. Before we actually do go to the NFL, I'm gonna give out my my villain, because my villain is in the NCAA, talking about the Georgia Bulldogs before, in our win over the vaunted New Mexican Aggies?
Yes.
I don't know what they are.
Do they
Mexico
have
State
mascot?
New Mexico State, excuse me. In the mighty WAC, winning 63-16, but my villain is the UGA Hedges for absorbing, for clinging to Aaron White. Clinging to Aaron White, and he can't get out of the Hedges for about 14 seconds after catching a touchdown pass and having to leap into them. Come on, Hedges, how you gonna do our boy like that? But that's my villain, and actually, you know, and I was wrong, and thank you for pointing this out, Ben. Before we do get to the NFL, Ben's villain is we've been doing some literal things. I think I had a literal villain last week, but this one also very literal. You go ahead and break the story, Ben.
Well, I'm going to start with a positive, though. I'm going to start with a positive. Braxton Miller from Ohio State only threw 11 passes for 55 yards, but rushed 14 times for 105, two touchdowns in a win against Indiana. The most impressive being 81 in that on a big scamper that really set us off on the scoring. So we'll start with that one, and then we'll go to the villain. Jerry Sandusky and the PSU athletic department. Really bad timing, especially given PSU's good season and Joe Paterno just passing Eddie Robinson for the all-time wins in the NCAA.
Well, but let's kind of break the story a little bit. Well, okay. I mean, so Jerry Sandusky, If you haven't been seeing the story all over ESPN and all over SportsCenter, CNN, I'm sure everybody at this point knows about it, but just to break the kind of story, this former defensive coordinator at Penn State who opened a charity – or not a charity, an outreach group for young boys called Second Mile has allegations have come out reaching back for the past 15 years of sexual misconduct with – underage boys, and it went on in Penn State locker rooms. It went on other Penn State grounds. And in 2002, after previous allegations, 2002, Joe Paterno was told of it, informed the athletics director, and from there, there was no case made against Sandusky and Sandusky. I'm so sorry, Jerry Sandusky. There's my third mistake of the show. Jerry Sandusky and I mean, really, the worst thing is that it happened. Now it happens to be on an upswing for Penn State sports, but I mean, the real terrible thing about it is that it happened in general. But now the question becomes, what does this mean for Joe Paterno's fate at Penn State? And, you know, I just, with these kind of cases and, with these kind of things, I mean, it's a terrible, terrible, terrible case. These allegations are terrible. And, it will create a witch hunt, as it will create an investigation, but we need to be aware of creating a witch hunt. And as far as everybody asking the question of Joe Paterno's fault, I think there's a lot of ways to go on this, but Ben, I want to hear your opinions on
it all happened under his watch. Enough said. And if you're the figurehead of a corporation and there's an oil spill, you're gone. I mean, that's just kind of how it happens.
It's similar, yeah. Yes. The fact that he went to the athletic director, which is what is required of him by his job. Now, You can criticize that he should have gone straight to the police. You can make a question of morality about that particular incident, which really, I'm sorry, I mean, what was required by his job was going to his supervisor. Now he should have gone to the police. That is a question for human morality, and that's not what I think you fire him for. If you
I just don't understand how you stand on that at all.
I agree with that.
I'm saying that
he should need to clean house at this point. Like, it's just people are gonna be like, "Oh, I really want my kid to go to Penn State now." Even if he's the only one left, even if Joe Paterno is the only one of that organization left, it's still there's a tarnish now and there's a stain, and it, like you're saying, Ben, couldn't come at a worse time. You know, the upswing in their organization in terms of winning games more consistently again, and what he just became all time. College winningest coach ever?
Yeah, ever.
I think it comes at a bad time for the NCAA just in general.
Is there a good time for this? That's the other.
But all the upswing of unprecedented scandal from tons of not only a scandal, but all these programs that we've thought to be so pure. I mean, storied programs, starting with USC a few years ago, then Ohio State's major, you know, allegations come out. I mean, and you can sprinkle all the various ones in between. And then now we have something bordering on this, you know, I mean, a sex scandal. I mean, the NCAA already looks incredibly broken just as a system in general. Now, let me go back to my point real quick because I need to clarify this. I'm not saying that Joe Paterno doesn't – the question of Joe Paterno being fired, I'm not saying that incident of him in 2002 not going to the authorities shouldn't be questioned. But I'm saying what does become his responsibility directly is the fact that the man is allowed anywhere near his program in the years after, which the man was on campus with his second mile, you know, kids, you know,
just 2 years ago.
Yeah. I think that is where you go beyond. Now you're turning a blind eye. Okay. And, you know, then it becomes, you know, I mean, college recruiting, these parents are sending kids to go play for this guy. It's not, it's just that is where the fact that that blind eye was made in the time after. Now, really, the infuriating thing about this case in general is that this goes back to allegations in 97, 98, again in 99, where he got caught showering with the boy and said, "I know it's wrong and I won't do it again." And he wasn't convicted of any jail time. And then in 2002, or the janitor's whole case talking about in 2000, but it was dismissed. They didn't go to any sort of criminal charges. And then in 2002, when that will be the incident that I think will give the AD of Penn State jail time. Because that is the true, that's a major obstruction of justice when the stories then became crossed from, because, you know, what happened was the assistant who I think witnessed the incident went to Paterno. Graduate assistant tells Joe Paterno that he saw Sandusky with a 10-year-old boy. And then Paterno goes to the athletic director, Tim Curley, and then the assistant director the graduate assistant was brought in to speak to the assistant director. And that is when the story was made to be like, oh, he didn't really do anything. And the story was changed. So I think Tim Curley is looking at jail time for obstructions of justice. We can keep this to Joe Paterno and kind of keep this focused on the sporting aspect. It is part of the shame that his career, I mean, how much does his career really get marred by this?
A lot.
What does this do to his general legacy?
I'd say it does a lot. It's such a tragic ending.
It's a big story, you know. It's salacious, and people who don't know anything about sports are going to hear that and latch on to it, and they're going to keep spreading it. So yeah, it's a huge stain on his legacy. It's the kind of thing people just won't be able to focus. People won't be able to unfocus from it. You know, they're not going to be able to talk about anything else. Human nature. It's sad.
And Joe Paterno has such a good rapport, I mean, just across the board with the media, with fans, with, you know, Penn State fans and college football fans in general. He is one of the general heroes of college football. I mean, if not one of the greatest, and this now, I mean, it's hard to know what to make of his legacy as of now. But time will tell. And it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out with his job specifically. It looks like he will. I mean, do you think he steps down before the season's over?
Yeah, it'll come quick.
Yep. I agree. It's a shame all around. It really is. It's a very dark day.
He has to resign. Like, it's just smart for the school.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I kind of akin it to this is a much more minor case to compare it to, but, you know, when Pete Carroll was pleading negligent to all the Reggie Bush things, you know, with the kickbacks he's getting and the gifts and the special treatment, he's going, I just didn't know. It's like, well, something that high profile in your program, you can't say that. I mean, certainly something like this, where there are allegations that come forward about this guy, he's working for you for a time, and then you allow him on the campus, you know, after allegations are already brought forward, you cannot, it's not acceptable to say you just didn't know. It's your job to know. It's your job when you're bringing, you know, this man around, you know, other young men. It's your job to know that as a head coach. It goes beyond sports, and I'm telling you, the true infuriating thing is how many times this man was allowed to slip through the system. How he can stand in front of, back in even 1998, if you read the timeline of this, back in 99, where he gets caught, 98, he gets caught showering with a boy, and then he had three other prior people coming out against him from 94 to 97. He gets to say, I'm sorry, and walk? I don't understand how it gets this far. I don't understand how it even gets, as you were saying, Chris, to 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's the most disturbing part of the story in my mind.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. The fact that it's allowed to continue and go on, and how many blind eyes in general have to be taken? I mean, beyond Joe Paterno and the Penn State athletic, you know, faculty. I mean, how many people? Bad times. What do you say? Shall we now finally swing it to the NFL?
Week 9, baby. Yes, let's do it. Let's.
Woo! I mean, it got a little serious in the sports chop show, but that's the kind of story it was. I mean, we gotta go at the hard topics, just that like.
We are not qualified to go into such dark places, man.
What are you talking about? We have the internet. We are entitled to think or say anything we want.
I forgot to do a cold sweat. I am pale as a ghost right now. I'm just shaking up. Yeah. I want to talk about something fun.
Well, let's give out some midterm grades to the NFL. What do you say?
Ooh, grades.
Grades.
Nothing more fun than grades.
Who likes now, grades?
I don't want to go just down the line of the top 25 top 16, excuse me, according to the power rankings on the mothership.
Well, I think any team below that, who cares, man? I don't want to talk about them.
But I don't want to go 1 through 16. I'm just saying. I want to
grab them. There grab bag.
Yeah. Ooh.
Grab. Mix it up.
All right. Well, I'm gonna just start with my favorite number, and I'm gonna go with 10.
No.
Number 10 brings us to the Bengals, who we were actually talking last week, Ben. The Bengals, who are now 6-2.
Right.
Yeah.
They're 6-2, and however, 4 of their remaining games are against the Ravens and the Steelers. They have yet to play them at all this year. I said last week that you are your record, and how could we even say we expected this in any sense from the Bengals? So I gotta give them a B.
Yeah, they only lost by 5 to San Francisco and beat Buffalo, and a lot of people would consider both of those playoff teams this year. Now, outside of that, they haven't really played any sort of playoff team, but they are their record, and they are winning a lot of ball games. So I'm going to go. I'm going to go B.
I'm going to go B plus, just because I thought they were going to go like 4-12 or 3-13 this year. Like I knew them. new coaching staff, new schemes.
Well, I mean, if we're giving grades against what we thought they were doing, then that's a different grade. I mean, this would obviously be A+.
Yeah, A+, because you got a rookie quarterback and a rookie wide receiver in AJ Green.
Yeah,
but you can stick with the B+. I mean, there's nothing wrong with giving them a B+.
Giving them a B+. That's what they get. They get a B+.
He wasn't waiver.
Oh. I'm not saying far be it for me to say that.
Aaron Rodgers or anything like that. They're just playing really consistent football. And their defense.
The defense is ridiculous.
Yeah. All right. Next number.
5.
Five is the Steelers at 6-3. Chris, starts with the Steelers.
Ooh, so I'm grading them through all 9 games they've played. So
all 9 games, and keep in mind that they're 6-3. 2 of those losses to the same team.
Yeah. Gee willikers. I'm going to give them a B+. I think with the Ravens, that's obviously a team that knows the Steelers so well. That's a brooding rivalry from past decade. So those losses aren't really as surprising to me. They were playing a little sloppy in the first 4 games. I think they went 2-2, and then they really pulled it together. Big Ben is playing extremely well right now. I really like that connection between him and Mike Wallace. I think that makes so much difference.
I usually want to say that, yeah, that if you can't win in your division, you can't win beyond your division.
Had a lot of injuries on both sides of the field, particularly their offensive and defensive line, and they've been able to persevere.
Roethlisberger's been helped by that young receiving core, absolutely.
Yeah, those are some good acquisitions. They got Mike Wallace just this past year, right?
No, they drafted him.
They drafted him. Wait, he's a rookie?
No. It was a while ago. It was a couple, 2 or 3 years ago.
Who am I thinking of then?
I don't know.
Well, let's forget it then.
Are you thinking at all?
Thinking with my mouth, and that sometimes hurts.
It really does. So, all right, what you gave him? What would you give him?
I gave him the same as I gave the Bengals.
All right, B+. I'm gonna give the Steelers a B-.
Really?
B-. Yeah, you got shellacked by the Ravens, and then you kind of blew it.
Week 1, you got shellacked.
This past week was every bit of a heavyweight battle. It's what we expected Alabama LSU to be.
Yeah, but they have some games where they make it the win.
They have two games against the Ravens and 1 game against the Houston Texans, who lead their division. So 3 losses against division leaders at this point. Everybody else they've beat, including a very impressive win against the Patriots.
Yeah,
I'm giving them a B-.
Why am I arguing that? I'm giving them an A-.
All right. I just haven't been the most impressed with some of their wins. I mean, let's keep in mind they went 23-20 against Indianapolis. They won 17-13 against Jacksonville. I mean, even Arizona was playing them pretty tight for a minute there.
You are your record, right? And you gave them a B-, which is less than what you gave the I guess there you go.
The Bengals who have a better record. So I am
thanks. Well, we'll see next week because they play each other.
All right.
So
what's your grade of your hated Steelers, buddy?
I said A-.
Said A-.
A-, wow. I'm just not paying attention. It's a good show.
Yeah, you should listen. You
should listen. Chris, give us a number.
12.
12. That takes us to the Patriots. Speaking of that big win for the Steelers, the Patriots. It looks like the ship was sailing really good, and then they got a little humble pie from the Steelers, and now they have a 2-game losing streak against the surprise New York Giants. Ben, what do you make of them?
Make of them? I am going to give them, if you asked me last week, they would have had a B, and the week before that, they would have had an A. So I guess I got to go B-. Just as two in a row, and then they have the Jets coming up this week, Sunday night. Yeah, that's not a good scene in Patriots land.
I'm going to sound inconsistent, but I'm going to give him a B. I don't know why I'm going to give him a B. I'm just going to give him a B. I think they'll turn it around.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, I'd like to think they win that division, although the Jets are coming back pretty strong right now. But I'll give them a B-, same as Ben, because now their offense is starting to get shut down. and they have the worst defense in football. So if you start taking away the offense, they become a very, very average team, even with the great Tom Brady. I'm going to give it a B minus.
But he's playing. But Tom Brady's playing at a very, very high level, and I mean, that makes sometimes it makes all the difference. I'm just saying, look at the Colts this year without Peyton Manning, and that was a playoff team a year ago. So sometimes maybe just having a brilliant passer can get you through, even though Tom Brady has struggled. I don't know. I see the Patriots turning it around a little bit. I'm gonna give the next number. How about lucky number 7? Which takes us to the Lions. Chris, break down the Lions.
Well, they ran off into the bye at a kind of a peculiar time in their season with those two straight losses. They're 6-2 now, and that's about where I thought they would be. I thought they'd 5-3, 6-9, so about where I thought they'd be at the start of the season. So I'm going to give them a B, because I just don't know what's going to happen to them. I have high hopes. They have times where they play just stellar football against great teams, and then they start to unravel a little bit. And I don't know if that's going to continue or not. So right now I'm going to hold them at a B, because I do like where they are, and I hope they continue, you know, in the B plus A minus path.
I'm going to give them an A, and that might be set against my expectations as well. I didn't think they'd be as good as they were coming out the gate. To go 5-0 is impressive, but you lost to two good teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In San Francisco and Atlanta. So I'm going to give them an A. I think if Green Bay was not playing out of their minds, they're a legit contender for that division, and maybe they still are. I mean, they catch them.
You can get a running going. That's the key right now, because they're relying so much on Stafford and he's getting hit more and more, and he's becoming more and more inconsistent. The past couple weeks he's thrown like at 50%, which was somewhere between 45% and 55%, and that's not where you need your quarterback to be.
Dan, got a grade?
Huh? I didn't hear if you say my name.
Ben, got a grade.
Got a grade. Okay, I didn't hear that last part. Anyways, I do have a grade. I'm going to give them a B+. When you lose to two very good teams, two playoff teams, but at home, that's going to bring your grade down just a bit. I do like watching this team, though. This offense is very fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's get a little more lightning rod going here. Ben, give us the next number.
Two.
Lightning.
You had to say two, didn't you? I say that because I actually don't have it up in front of me.
I want to guess.
49ers.
Yeah, that's what I was going to guess.
All right. So what do you make of them, Chris?
I give them a big fat A. And this actually brings me to my hero of the week. And I can say hero of the first 9 weeks is Jim Harbaugh. Outstanding job bringing this team, which looked so miserable and desperate last year, even though I guess technically at one point they were 6-9 and still in the race, but that's beside the point. He really turned things around. He found the strengths.
I don't think they were one of those teams. I think it was the Rams and the
Yeah, but the Niners were at 6-9 or 6-8 at one point last year, and they were in the wild, and they were in the hunt for that division. I mean, that fell apart obviously. But that was a discussion that was going on at the end of last season.
Yeah. Keep going about Jim Harbaugh. I want to hear this.
Jim Harbaugh, he's my hero. He turned them into the Jets of a couple years ago, you know, with kind of a quarterback who is – I mean, he's not an all-star quarterback. He's playing very vanilla, but he's making it happen. He's flowing voices. He's not making mistakes. And he's not going out and he's not shooting the ball around 20 times. He's relying on Frank Gore. They're getting that.
And Frank Gore's having a great year.
A fantastic year. And their defense is keeping them in all of these games. They're keeping it tight so that Alex Smith and Frank Gore can score, you know, just enough points to get them over the top.
You know, and there's such a phobia about the college head coach translating to the NFL head coach. Do you guys see maybe a shift in that trend, or maybe is Jim Harbaugh just an outlier?
Go ahead.
I think we got to wait. I mean, I think it's too early to really know.
I mean, no one thought he would do this. I mean, he's obviously created a winning culture, and there's no reason to suspect it's going to go away. I mean, you got to think eventually San Francisco will get a real quarterback in there. I mean, he's doing this with Alex Smith.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think he can't have Alex Smith all the time playing within himself and expect to win the games for a long time.
Alex Smith is looking pretty good this year.
But he's looking good by being contained within himself. I mean, he's not a quarterback who's going to go out and throw a long ball on you. I mean, Alex Smith is not going to go out and beat you. Alex Smith is going to go out and complete intermediate routes to nickel and dime. He's learned how to be accurate, you know, across the field, these out routes with, you know, timing his crossing routes. I think you're not really going to be able to open the playbook too much with him, but if you can get him, I mean, he's gotten something that works with them, but I just don't know how long
this
record lasts.
I think their record is going to be rather impressive considering they have, they already beat Washington, but they have Arizona twice, St. Louis twice, and Seattle again.
They look like the. They look like a shoo-in for the second seed of the NFC.
Give him your grade then, Benny D.
I'm gonna give him an A+. I mean, you can't. Their only loss was an overtime game to a broken-ribbed Tony Romo.
Yeah, I will also say A+, because you look at what they've done and how Jim Harbaugh has turned it around, and you know, I think you can certainly. I mean, we don't want to consider like where we were thinking they were going to be, but you can certainly consider where they were last year. And the fact of the matter was they weren't a good team. Alex Smith was in dire straits, and he's found a way to put it together. So I got to go A+. I mean, like if again, as we said, looks to me they're going to be second in the NFC. So certainly an interesting turnaround for them. That was number two. Chris, give us our next one.
32,
we're top 16, buddy.
I know, that was a joke. You don't have to.
You know what happened last time you made a joke?
I know, it got really silent.
It didn't happen.
It didn't happen. All right, name a number, Chris.
It was 16.
16! Oh, your Philadelphia Eagles.
Hold on, 15, I said.
Nope.
Eagles!
We're there.
E-A-G-L-E-S! I'm just going to go ahead and say F. Like, and the only reason is because all the expectations and all the hype surrounding this team.
Yeah.
Nowhere near that expectation.
I'm going to give him an
E. Chris, I want to wait. This is your team. They couldn't hear what you were saying because I was talking over you. That's pretty normal. But I'm going to step in because I really want to hear you go off here. I want to hear your thoughts. Because, look, I'm also going to give him an F, and I'm also going to bench your punter, Chaz Henry, punter from Florida, with possibly the worst fake punt throw in the history of the NFL that I've ever seen.
Yeah, bad.
Gunner all by himself, uncovered in... I don't think you should be allowed to play in the NFL no matter what position if you can't throw a football better than that. Lobbing that thing up there 10 yards short of him.
Ball, trying to move its own arm. That's what it looked like. And the ball just, like, left his hand, was like, I give up, and fell straight to the ground. I don't know if anyone saw the game, but that's exactly what happened.
That's what I like. Draft Florida, everybody. That's what you get. Chaz!
They don't pay him to throw the ball, though.
Yeah, but like... Really? You can't do better than that? I'm pretty sure Trey could throw a football better than that.
He would scream with seeing all those people running at him.
Jeremy Maclin is more bench worthy than the punter's performance in the game.
Oh, but it's such a great one play. But Jeremy Maclin falling on 4th and 10 when he caught the ball with a clear shot the first down.
Ridiculous passes. One of them completely shift the momentum of at the end of the second quarter. And the other one is he was wide open. He was right up in space for a 30-yard gain or more. And he just dropped it. It was in his numbers. He dropped it. This is the problem with the Eagles, though. All season, this game really crystallized it. You know, you have so much talent. You have so many good things going for you. Then it's just these little mistakes. When the game started, I didn't know who was going to win. You know, I put Chicago and the Eagles, not talent-wise, but I put their teams kind of on the same level in my mind. And I thought, whoever makes the more mistakes in this game, that's going to be the team that loses. And that's exactly what happened. The Eagles could have easily won that game, like they could have easily won any of the other games they lost. But it was sloppy play, inconsistencies, and those little mistakes, the drops and the penalties and the whatever the punter tried to do. That's what killed it for them. That's killing their entire season. I'm going to give them a C, because you give the smart kid who does poorly a C, and you give the average kid who plays average a C+. So they get a C, in my mind, because why would I give them an F? I'm an Eagles fan.
I mean, yeah, I think you gave them an F.
I gave an F with my emotions. I gave them a C with my mind.
What number would you like to give with our mind?
9.
9 is the Bears. I like what Chris picks. All right, Bears 5-3 after winning in Philadelphia last night. Very topsy-turvy with that offensive line. I have to give, honestly, they're 5-3, but I have to give the Bears a C+. I think if not for the high play of Jay Cutler, that offensive line would be crippling that team.
And Matt Forte.
The defense is pretty solid, but I give them a C+. I think they're wildly inconsistent.
Let's talk about their defense for a little bit, because they were all over the place last night. Particularly Brian Urlacher in the first half. It seemed like he had a touch or a tackle on every single play. He was all over the field. Julius Peppers, you saw him running back and forth, laterally running Vic down, making sure he wasn't getting those big first downs that Vic likes to get. When he's flush from the pocket, they did such a tremendous job of containing the speed of the Eagles. They held LeSean McCoy to under 100 yards rushing.
Yeah.
They played so well.
I'm going to go B.
I'm giving it a B.
I'm going to go B because they're 3 losses at New Orleans, Green Bay, and at Detroit.
All of a sudden, the Bears are kind of looking good. I mean, not but a few weeks ago, they were looking kind of maligned, but now we're changing.
This is the rhythm of the Bears. This is what's going to – they're going to be right in it till the end. You know, I think they're going to have a good record, and they might be that –
they have a run against San Diego, Oakland, Kansas City, Denver, and Seattle.
I think the Bears –
What's your grade?
My grade? I'm with Ben. I'm going to give him a B. I'm going to give
him – I'm going to throw this next one out there. Number 8. The Texans, 6-3. Hard to know what to make of them because they are, I think, also in the rhythm of the Bears, which I thought was a great point. The Texans, kind of hard to place them with kind of those weird losses, weird wins, yet somehow 6-3. Yeah. I got to give them a C+.
Really?
C+ that low?
That seems harsh.
I'm gonna go B+.
I mean,
I'm gonna go just B. That would be. I love they got going though in Ben Tate and Arian Foster week in and week out, really making up for that lack of an Andre Johnson. They're playing really well right now. They're missing their biggest offensive line. They've had an easy stretch, man.
They've played Tennessee, Jacksonville, and Cleveland their last 3 games. Before that, they were 3-3. I agree, but I think it'll balance out when they get Atlanta, Cincinnati. They got to play Carolina.
And they get Andre Johnson back.
Well, I think right now they've been a C+.
Do you think the fact that if they feel confident that they're going to win the division that they might take their foot off the
No, you don't have a winning tradition in that franchise. I think you need to put the wood on the rest of the division. If you're the Colts and you've been, you know, experiencing winning for so long, yes, but no. I'm gonna move it along. All right, let's just go straight to the top. And number 1, of course, Green Bay Packers 8-0. Can we all just say A+ and move on?
Yeah.
Yes.
A-.
A-?
Yeah, they were up 45-24 in the fourth quarter, and it came down to the last possession of the Chargers. I'm just saying.
They're undefeated. I'm going to go A+.
They've gone 8-0. It's an A+. I think you're being nitpicky.
I'm allowed to pick you with the perfect team, aren't I?
I guess you are.
Every little mistake like shines like a glittery pimple.
I'm going to keep that in mind as we go to number 3, the Baltimore Ravens, 6-2. What do you think, Chris?
Their two losses are just so head scratching, you know. They really put a damper on what I want to give them.
I think Joe Flacco puts a damper on what we'd like to give them.
Yeah, but actually, he's one of my two game balls for the week, and that's basically for his win this week and in week one against the Steelers, because that is a monkey that he desperately needed to shake off his back, and he put up good numbers. He played very well in both those games. He's not having a great season. He hasn't been having a great season. The haters have had a lot of nibblings. That didn't make sense.
No, it didn't. But I think Joe Flacco's been inconsistent, but I think they've been good. And despite two head scratching wins, I will give them a B plus.
Yeah,
I agree.
Cool.
B plus is all around.
Yeah.
Shall we continue right to the Saints at number 4?
Yep.
Cool.
All right. 6-3 Saints. What do you think, Chris?
B minus.
B minus. Okay.
Well, such a talented team, and they're eking out some wins. Like, they eked out that win against the Panthers, and they've had some troubling losses themselves. I don't know. They're just not playing to full capacity right now. And that's
Inconsistent, nearly a three-game win, nearly blowing the game last week to the Bucs. That would have been 3 in a row. Yeah. And they got to play the Falcons coming off of really a two-week bye, considering the bye week and the Colts. I will give them a B+. Inconsistent, but they can.
Let me ask, at this point, halfway through the season, who do you think takes that division?
Let's save it when we get to the Falcons. Your grade, Ben?
I'm going to go B minus due to the loss at St. Louis. All
right. B minus. Let's now take it right to number 13 with the Falcons. Falcons 5-3 have kind of found their groove the last few weeks, riding a win streak into New Orleans, plus a bye week. Ben, what do you grade the Falcons?
I'm going to go C plus. Just as the total body work up to this point, I've been largely underwhelmed at the just the disappointing losses so far.
Chris?
I'm going to give them a B- for pretty much the same reason, although I'm more even though I'm not an Atlanta fan, if I were, I would be very optimistic about how they're playing right now. They're playing more.
Oh, yeah, the grade is it's got the green arrow pointed up.
Yeah, so B- with the green arrow pointed up for me.
I'm tempted to give him a C. I will make it a C+. I think Matt Ryan needs to play at a higher level. I think generally he's looked okay, but he's kind of thrown as many touchdowns as interceptions, and that's not good. Kind of questionable throws and not uncharacteristic, but becoming too characteristic, these random picks. But, you got Julio Jones looking good. He's back from injury. Michael Turner's been generally carrying the ball well. It is with the green arrow up, and not to mention the schedule gets a lot easier for this part of the season, as we knew it would. But I'll give them a C+. And let's go to the Bills, who are number 14 here, and they're 5-3. The hot start, but things have maybe more reality check, but still a good run for the Bills. No, what do you make of them, Ben?
I'm gonna go solid B. If not for the past couple weeks have been really rough for the Bills. Coming out of the bye, losing at home to a division foe, not looking good. So I'm going to go solid. What did I say? B. I'm going to say B.
B.
I will say B, and that might be though with how little credit they had. I gave them to come out and look how they have. So I'll sit with a B. Let's hop up to New York and go up to 11 with the Jets. At 5-3, kind of struggles along the way, but they seem to have kind of righted the ship a little bit. Handling the Bills, by the way, last week, 27-11. Chris, what do you think of the Jets?
I'm going to give them kind of the same thing with Atlanta. I'm going to give them a B minus, even though I am leaning more towards a B. They were playing really sloppy and inconsistent football the first couple weeks. They are, as you said, starting to right that ship, and very convincing win over a divisional foe. And we'll really see what they're made of next week.
Yeah, I'll give them the B-minus with the green arrow, Ben.
I'm going to go B-plus for both New York teams. I'm going to go for the Jets and the Giants.
All right. Well, let's take it to the Giants. And you give a B-plus. They are number 6 on the rankings. Chris, what do you make of them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it pains me to say this because my other game ball goes to Eli Manning. He's having... And I know this has been the thing talked about a lot, but you can't spell elite without Eli, unfortunately, is true. And he is playing at a very high caliber this year, not making many mistakes, really coming in at clutch moments. I know it was kind of worrisome for Giants fans, that Dolphins game. Oh, but then they went to Foxborough, and they ended a 5-year home winning streak for Tom Brady in the regular season. And they did it with 90 seconds left. And yeah. Eli's kind of a Joe Flacco who's been to a Super Bowl. You know, people, even though he's been to a Super Bowl, people, they like to make fun of how his eyes don't both look at you the same way. And it seems like it. But he's becoming an elite quarterback.
What's your grade?
My grade's a B+.
Ben?
I already gave you it.
Oh yeah, B+. Eli's playing at such a high level, but I'm going to give him a B because I think it's a lot of Eli magic that's kind of doing it. And for a while there, they were kind of looking inconsistent. But, I mean, at 6-2, I can't really argue with that. I'm going to give him a B. And then let's round this out with number 15, the Cowboys at 4-4. I'm just going to slap a C on him and move on. How about you guys?
That's exactly what I was going to give them.
Yeah, I don't think – sure, sure.
How many teams from the AFC?
Oh, I gave them the series I gave the Eagles. I'll give them a C+.
All right. By the way, how many teams from the AFC West were on this list? Oh, just one. The San Francisco 49ers. And
AFC West. AFC Zero. West.
Excuse me. Yeah, it's not the NFC West, the AFC West, and that's where I'm just going to go ahead and throw it to you, Chris Genovese. No AFC West teams on this list.
I think that next week the NFL should bench the AFC West. I don't think we really need to watch them next week. They all need to kind of screw their heads on because when the winning team is a Tebow-led team, and they're the only winning team of that week, that you're looking at serious problems in your division. And I'm looking at you, Philip Rivers, because you did kind of lose that game, didn't you, buddy? Even with your
players
and 4 touchdowns.
He's not hurt, though.
Points to another team, to the Packers.
He's not hurt, though. It's not that. And do you have a little more specificity with your benching there, Ben?
Chiefs can't lose 31-3 at home to the previously winless Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I mean, that is ridiculous.
They heard your call. The Dolphins did. Of win a game. They did.
I guess so. They responded to me, Adam Bailey, on the Sports Chop Show. All right. And have we missed any game balls or benchings? I have to give my game ball. I haven't given Aaron Rodgers any love. And I have to say, I will this week. 21-26, 247 yards, 4 touchdown passes. Elevating with Philip Rivers' help, elevating the Packers over the Chargers. And if your team's 8-0, you get to have a game ball in the Sports Chop Show.
A historical landmark of being 8 straight games with over 110 quarterback rating. Never been done before. Mr. Aaron Rodgers, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. And one day we will know what a quarterback rating means. One day, someone will actually.
If it's high, it's good.
If the number is close to 62.8, that's a good thing. Anyhow, so that thing that covers all the superlatives. Can we? I think, and those are the grades. You've been graded, and that's we have spoken here on the Sports Chop Show. Any more heroes to get to? I've got my hero. I've gotten through all my other superlatives, but my hero, by the way, is going to be NCAA men's basketball, in the sense of we have no basketball with the NBA lockout. And now NBA, since you want to be stupid and still not come to an agreement, you are the honorable mention of the villain, by the way. But now we have basketball with college, and my UJ basketball interest will skyrocket even more. So thank you, NCAA, for giving us some sort of basketball, because it is tipping off. It's kind of weird that, like, we're in November and there's no basketball, or does no one care?
At this point, I don't care, to be real honest with you.
Are we so happy for football that, like...
Oh, yeah. It won't hit us until after Christmas, at the earliest.
That's sad.
I don't know what the NBA thinks they are.
I don't know either.
Come on.
Listen, Chris, some people like baskety hoops.
I like baskety hoops.
That should be the lead-in for every show. I like baskety hoops.
Oh, and with that, I think we should head into our minutes.
Whoa! I got my hero of Mike Polk. Season ticket holder for the Cleveland Browns, stands outside the stadium and delivers a very, very hilarious rant. Just type in Browns fan into YouTube and you can find it real easily. It's hilarious.
it's pretty good.
You are a factory of sadness!
He's yelling at the Cleveland Browns Stadium. That's great.
Look it up. Don't let us. You.
I thought it was good. I thought that was good by old Ben doing his Mike Polk impression. Yeah, look it up. It's very funny. Ben, would you like to start us off with a minute?
I love football. Here, a minute.
No, that, come
I
on.
I don't have one.
What? Talk about...
Like... Do something.
Come on, entertain us for 1 minute. You're on the clock. Go.
You have like a favorite song? Can you play a minute of a favorite song?
No, I don't think that's
global audience. Our global audience demands that Ben entertain us.
Ben entertains us. I really don't have anything delicious or nutritious, and I'll donate 30 seconds to you both.
Oh wow! All right, Chris, I'll let you start chewing on them. Do you want to talk about the Eagles some more?
No, I don't want to talk about that.
Well, then that's what I'll use my minute for. I take it back.
The Falcons lose. I don't, like, badger you about it.
I'm not badgering you. I'm not badgering about losing. I'm badgering the fact that you're
five. You're badgering me.
I'm not. The honey badger doesn't give a crap.
Chris, what's your minute, buddy? I think I should just sign off at this point. I think no one's listening anymore.
I saw a new AMC show, Hell on Wheels.
What did you think of it?
It's the worst. It's like one of the worst shows I've ever seen. That and American Horror Story is the two worst shows I've ever seen, and they're both on the air right now. So catch up on them. So awful.
I like it. Well, this past week was Savannah Film Fest, and Chris,
tell us about this.
I wanted to say to you on the air about my meeting with Oliver Stone. He was quite drunk at the hotel that he was staying at, partying with all of the film festival people, such as myself. And I met him. I was introduced to him, and took one look at me and said, "He's a pretty good looking kid." I mean, that's high praise coming from Oliver Stone. I mean, he directed Platoon.
He worked with Kevin Costner.
I mean, that says it all. And then my brush encounter with Alec Baldwin when I approached the door at the same time he did, leaving breakfast, and he stood out of the way after I stood out of the way and let me go. So that was awesome.
He's really self-confident. People would think of that. What people think of him, I guess.
Yes, I don't know why.
Yeah.
What was embarrassing publicly in the past few years. I don't know. But I had a great week. It was fun. And we're going to wrap this up because at this point no one is listening anymore. And that's what we like. We just like to drive our listeners away one click at a time. That's how we go for it.
Best hour 15 you can spend on the internet.
Oh, my God. All right. So...
All right, for Chris and Ben, this is Adam. We'll see you next time, hopefully on the Sports Chop Shop.
Hopefully. What are you, a Vietnamese prostitute? Oh, wait, no. That would be... Never mind.
I don't get it.
You're going to have to...
Never mind. I was... Because that number 10 means bad. Number 1 means... We'll just make that go away later. Crash and burn.
I'm leaving that in the show.
No.
Number